Welcome to Your Financial Destination Show, an educational investment series hosted by Roger Hamilton, featuring strategies to enhance your retirement income. During his 14 years as a financial advisor, Roger has provided sound advice on how to improve personal investments to hundreds of people, many of whom are Seaside FM listeners. To discuss how to improve your investments, email Roger at roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5877.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So over the next 20 minutes, we'll go over a few ideas, share some strategies, all to help you improve your investment returns and to enhance your retirement income. Now, over the next 20 years, in Canada, over $1 trillion of assets are to be sold, transferred, passed on to survivors, partners, the next generation. And to make that transition as smooth as possible, one of the biggest decisions in life is to consult with your lawyer, whatever the amount is, and to have this stated and updated in your will. So you think, how can I transfer my wealth, whatever that amount is, to my beneficiaries once I'm finally done? Who do I want to receive what's left, and who do I don't want to receive what's left? What are my wishes? So here with us today is Lisa Jacklin from Heritage Law, right here in Dartmouth, has a general practice that specializes in wills and estates, also does adoptions and real estates, heritage law. Good morning, Lisa. Welcome.
Good morning.
And how are you?
I'm great.
So Blair McKinnon has officially retired.
He has, as of December of last year.
He's done. Okay, yeah. Well, we welcome you on our show, and thank you for coming in this morning. It's this very important topic, wills and estates, basically how to pass down money before and after, I guess, we pass on. So we're going to go the first 10 minutes or so of some quick questions for you here in the witness stand. Mm-hmm. All right, about 10 or 12 quick questions, basic stuff. What's a will and why is it needed?
Well, a will is a document that allows you to put down in writing what you want to have happen with your assets after you die. So it's really about the transfer after you die of all your belongings. And it's needed to clarify how we're going to transfer those assets, but it's also helpful for your family, even if you have minimal assets, to help you with government agencies and filing, doing final things like taxes and other things like that if you have an executor named. It also is helpful in listing guardians that you may want to have for any minor
to carry on your plans the way you want them planned.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Are wills the same legislation in each province? If I do one here, I can go to Alberta, I'm okay, and vice versa? Or are they different in different provinces?
Well, every province has its own legislation, so every province has its own Wills Act, like we have here in Nova Scotia. For the most part, most of that legislation is the same, except everywhere except for Quebec. So Quebec operates a little bit differently than the rest of Canada. They have a civil code, and we have something called the common law that we use. And so I would probably, if I was to move out of the province of Nova Scotia, I would want to check with a lawyer in other provinces, but in particular, if you move to Quebec.
And coming from Quebec, the same idea coming here?
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Okay. If no wills are started or updated, then is it, maybe rephrase that. When should wills be started or updated? When should you start and how often updated?
Well, I think soon as you become an adult, you should have a will.
So 21 or so?
Yeah, 19 is the age of majority in Nova Scotia, but certainly when you start getting assets.
Okay.
So if you have a bank account, you really should have a will. Definitely, as you get older and amass more assets, you certainly want to have a will. Because
and material changes. I've added a wife. I've added a child.
Exactly.
Every time you add someone new.
Yeah. So you should certainly, every 5 years, you should review your will and make sure that everything's still the way that you want it to be. But essentially, if you have an executor that you want to change, you should do that. If a beneficiary dies, then you want to rethink how that's going to be done. If you or anybody in that's a beneficiary changes their name, if you become divorced or if you remarry, you should have a new will. Adoption of children, because that's going to obviously affect who the beneficiaries would be or people that have rights to your assets after you
Things change every 5 years.
Yeah. Yep.
So if no will was ever done or updated, is it normally assumed that, let's say the husband passes away, is it normally assumed that the surviving spouse, in this case the wife, she automatically gets the house and all of his money anyway?
Yeah. That may be assumed, but that's actually not accurate.
Okay.
So there's a piece of legislation called the Intestate Succession Act, And under that Intestate Succession Act, there's a schedule of how things are to be distributed. And the way that that works is your spouse, if you have less than $50,000 in assets, your spouse inherits everything.
Okay.
If you have more than $50,000 in assets, then what happens is your spouse gets the first $50,000, and then the remainder is divided between your spouse and your children. Or they have the option to take the matrimonial home and the remainder is divided between the spouse and the children. So the spouse doesn't get everything.
Doesn't get everything.
No.
Okay. So is common law then the same as marriage in the eyes of the estate law by just living together for a while?
No, it's not. Okay. And a lot of people don't realize that. I have a lot of people come in and say we have been living together for 40, 50 years and not realizing that they don't have any rights under the estate legislation if there is no will. So unless they're registered domestic partners or they're legally married, there actually is no right under the legislation for that person to make an application. They would have to sue the estate.
So there's no squatter's rights. I've been here for 10 years. I don't get...
It depends on how they hold their assets. So
okay.
If they hold assets, if there's been estate planning going on, then yes. But if everything is in the name of the person who died,
right.
Then they would have to sue the estate in order to enforce any rights that they may have.
Is common law same-sex couples now who are married, we'll say, or are they the same law binding as them as they're in a traditional marriage?
Yeah, so same-sex marriage is the same. It is legally married couples, same defined as a same-sex and not same-sex.
Executor. Is it normally a family? I mean, it seems like a troublesome job, so is it normally family or should it be family? And what does it pay an executor? Why would someone want to be an executor? Does it pay anything to be one?
Normally, spouses would be executors for each other, and then you'd have an alternate executor. I always say, pick somebody that you trust, somebody mm-hmm. that's good with money, because it's going to be a mm-hmm. job where you actually have to do an accounting and all that kind of thing. Generally, it's mostly family members that are listed as executors or friends or close friends. But you can also get a trust company to be an executor. They usually don't want to get involved unless it's a larger estate.
$1 million or...
Yeah, $1 million, you know, at least a half a million.
Okay.
Because essentially, you know, and then you have to pay them.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is subject to a different contract than other executors get paid. So if it's not a trust company, then the executor actually has the ability to claim up to 5% of the value of the estate.
Okay.
Plus reasonable expenses. But usually if it's an uncomplicated estate, it would be about 3% of the value of the estate.
So how long does an executor have to clear the estate? Like the family's waiting for their money, executor says, this is going to take a while.
Yeah.
How much time do they have to, you better get this cleared up?
Well, I mean, it really depends on the circumstances, but they're supposed to have a real estate dealt with within 18 months of the death of the testator.
So a year and a half or so.
Yes. Okay. And it would take that long to get the Revenue Canada on board and get what you need from them, like final clearance certificate.
So we'd almost have to wait for a whole year anyway for that
you
year
do.
To clear.
You would,
yeah. A bit more.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do have some estates when they're contested 3, 4, 5 years sometimes.
Probate fees. Nova Scotia, I have probate fees. What's the actual cost of someone had, you know, $100,000 or a $500,000 value in their home? It has to go through probate. What's the cost, probate cost?
So the probate court charges probate fees based on the value of the estate. So the first $100,000 is $1,002 and some change. And then every $1,000 after that is $16.95.
Okay.
So if you had a house that was valued at about $500,000, which basically is the
average house today.
I was just going to say that's probably can't get a house in the city for more than less than $500,000. That'd be about $7,800 in probate fees. Plus, you'd have to pay legal fees for somebody to help you get through the process.
Yep. And how long a process does probate usually take?
That's what we had talked about, probably about 18
same
months.
Same thing,
yeah.
Clearing that off.
So what happens with probate is there's some things that you have to do. One of them is an advertisement in a government newspaper called a Royal Gazette, which is about 6 months.
Okay.
Right now in the city, it's taking them 4 to 6 weeks to process applications, then 6 months in the Royal Gazette, then filing the final tax return. So you're usually talking about 18 months.
So it takes a while just to get started
Yeah.
get started.
Yeah.
So what are some ways people can avoid probate? I know certainly one that I deal with are the life insurance products. They can do that and segregated funds that they'll bypass probate.
Yeah.
But not everyone has segregated funds and not everything is a segregated fund.
Yeah.
So what are some other options people might have to avoid probate? I guess one would be to sell everything before you die.
Yes, yeah.
That would work. But what else could they do?
Generally, the easiest way to explain when I'm talking to people is if all of your assets are held jointly with somebody else, or you have a beneficiary named on your assets, then those would pass outside of probate. So they would go automatically to the survivor or to the beneficiary. So, for instance, most people, their main assets are a house, some RRSPs, and some bank accounts and a car. So if they come in to that and to me with those assets, I say, well, who do you have a joint owner on your house with you? Because that would all they'd have to do is provide a death certificate. If you have a beneficiary named on your RRSPs, then that goes automatically to the beneficiary. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it. And if you have a joint owner on your bank accounts with you, it would go automatically to the joint owner on the
bank
accounts.
Which could be spouse or child if you're the last one of the
exactly.
Of the married couple.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So in terms of estate planning, that's the easiest way to explain it. If you wanted to have a estate planning, you could have, if you had, so for instance, if you had six children and you don't want to put six children on your bank account with you, could put one child on and they would hold it in what's called a resulting trust.
Okay.
And that resulting trust, they would hold it outside of probate so that they would, but it would be for the estate, so they would still follow the terms of the will.
So one person couldn't get it all.
Exactly. That's it would be intended to as an
Mom
estate
planning
tool.
Mom left this for me. Sorry, the rest of you. So it's all set up.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, that was about a dozen questions right there. That was great. Well done. So we're going to take a quick break. Then we come back and have what I'm going to call, used to do with Blair, like a Roger scenario. I'm going to set up a little scenario. Basically, how can I control my money after I'm gone, if I can? And we'll talk with Lisa Jacklin from Heritage Law. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Well, as much fun as a financial advisor and a lawyer can have on the radio. So we'll do that. Are you ready for that? We'll do right after this break.
On the Financial Destination Show, we want you to become more educated, knowledgeable, and comfortable with your investments. Check your results over the past 5 years. Do you feel they should have done better? What would you want changed to improve performance over the next 5 years? Tune in every Thursday morning at 9:10 to hear more on how to improve your retirement income.
And we're back with Lisa Jacklin from Heritage Law. So first off, Lisa, how can people reach you or Heritage Law?
We're at on Ochterlony Street, 92 Ochterlony Street. Our phone number is 902-465-6669. And my email address, you can reach me at any time at lisa@heritagelaw.ca.
Too easy. Okay, so here's my setup. I used to do this with Blair. So the theme is today, can I control how my money's to be used once I either transferred or once I'm gone? So here's, I'm going to play the part of a little role today, a little fun. I'm going to play the part of a 75-year-old rich guy. And I've got, let's say, $3 million in investments. I own my own million-dollar home. So I have $4 million. My wife, God rest her soul, passed on a few years ago. My two kids, Donnie and Marie, they're both around 50. They've done very well in life, very successful, sold records, making good money. My wife and I brought the kids up quite well. But, you know, in my life, I've got a new girlfriend now. Her name's Bambi. She's around 45, I think, according to one of her two passports. We're not married. She's a former professional pole dancer and now part-time yoga instructor at the local military base here. And the Legion's packed every day she teaches. The old guys march in at attention in formation Tuesdays and Thursdays. Bambi has no kids of her own. And she's lived with me for the past few years. She helps me stretch a couple times a week. Okay. You with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. Now, I'm liking this life. It's pretty good. Anyway, I come to you, Lisa. You're my lawyer. With my $3 million, I want to leave $1 million each to Donnie and Marie and $1 million to Bambi. And Bambi can have the house as well, which is not in her name, by the way, but she can live there after I'm gone. However, Bambi's not very good with money, and some of her trashy family and friends, once I'm gone, they'll come knocking and sniffing looking for money. They'll want to set up their own meth labs and tattoo parlors. Her sister is the worst. I mean, Father's Day at Bambi's sister's place is mass confusion. Who's on first? So, now Bambi's a very popular girl, and she just can't say no. That's how we met. Anyway, I want to protect Bambi from both herself and her sister and the rest of her family of financial predators, whose only ambition in life were to be regulars on the Jerry Springer Show. All right, so you get an outline of what I'm looking at here. Mm-hmm. Bambi's million. I want her paid money for life, like $1 million, $40,000 for the next 25 years. I want that in the will. She can't have access to a lump sum. If she did, it'd be gone in 60 seconds. Now, the house is hers, but she can't sell it. If she sells the house, that money goes back to Donnie Marie. They don't know what to do with it. I mean, life is life, and Bambi will probably move on without me. Perhaps the day the paramedic arrived to drag my body away. I don't know. But I'm not paying one penny to anyone other than my two kids. They can do whatever they want with their money. And Bambi, who perhaps she could stretch me like I was Gumby, but she couldn't stretch a dollar to save her life. So I want to provide for her, even after I'm gone, but not her family. I come to you to set up my will. Take it away, Lisa.
So there's a lot going on here.
That was quite a colorful. It's a Hallmark movie. I could write that script somewhere.
Well, the first thing that I would ask you when you come to my office is whether or not you have a cohabitation agreement with Bambi. So I would want to know, essentially, do you have a cohabitation agreement that clarifies that all of your assets are your assets and her assets are her assets? And I would want to make sure that we have that in place.
I'd want that in place, so okay.
Prior to getting the will done or at the same time as doing the will.
Does she need to sign that?
She would have to sign that, and right. I would recommend that you do that. You should have done that right away as soon as she started living with you. So that would be the first thing that I would
say. The night she can use my toothbrush or bring her toothbrush with her, I should have got her to sign something.
As soon as she moved into your house with you, you should have got a cohabitation agreement.
Okay.
So we would want to make sure that we get that in place. That protects your assets so that there is money left in the estate after you die for Donnie and Marie. So that would be the first thing. The second thing, when you would come to my office for your initial appointment, I would want to make sure that I meet with you alone without Bambi present to ensure that...
Well, she's busy down at the Legion doing yoga right now.
Yes, to ensure that all your ideas are yours and that you're not being unduly influenced by Bambi in any way. So that would be the first thing. And then what we would do is we would, after we talk about the cohabitation agreement and how that should be set up, then we would talk about the best way to set up a trust for Bambi. So you would be leaving the $1 million to Donnie and Marie each, just to them
they
to do whatever they want.
Cut some more records off you go.
We would talk about if they were to predecease you, what would you want to have happen to their share?
Right.
So that would be the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd move on to Bambi and we'd say, okay, well, if you want, it sounds to me like what you want to do is you want to leave $1 million to Bambi, but you want her to have the right to continue to live in the house.
Correct.
So you don't want her to have the house. You just want her to be able to live there.
She can
so
live there.
That there's a big difference there. So what we would do is we would set up a trust for Bambi for her $1 million. So it's called a testamentary trust. And under that terms of that testamentary trust, it creates a trust that doesn't belong to Bambi. All the money that's in the trust belongs to the trust.
Uh-huh.
So what would happen is the money gets paid out to Bambi as we put in the will. So if you want her to get, I believe it was, how much did you want her to have?
$40,000 a year for 25 years.
Yes, if you want her to have $40,000 a year, then we would probably talk about maybe we'll give her a monthly stipend. So if you wanted her to have $3,500 a month,
mm-hmm.
we could have a trustee named over the trust, who would be the person who would be in control of managing the assets and making the payout on that.
Okay.
And then she would get her monthly stipend every month until either the trust is exhausted or she dies.
Okay.
So then I would say to you, okay, well, we're creating this trust for her. So what do you want to have happen if she were to die in 10 years' time and there's a whole bunch of money left in the trust?
What do you want? Go back to Donnie and Marie.
Exactly. So by setting it up as a testamentary trust, Donnie and Marie are going to be the beneficiaries of any money left over in that trust. So the trust is set up to benefit Bambi, but it doesn't belong to Bambi. It's just for her benefit.
Okay.
The other thing that we would want to talk about is the house. So the house, what you want to do is leave that. You would want Donnie and Marie to be the eventual beneficiaries of that house.
Correct.
But you just want to give her an interest to continue to reside there. And then we would have the discussion about, well, how are we going to do that? So did you want to have a defined time for her to live there, or do you want her to continue to live there for the rest of her life? So if you wanted to give her 2 years to live there, then we could say, okay, she can live there for 2 years. Or until she decides she wants to move. Or we could say she can live there for 5 years or until such time as she wants to move. If she moves out of the house, then the house gets sold and the proceeds get divided between Donnie and Marie.
Got it.
Yeah. And then we would talk about, okay, so should she be paying for the property tax, the utilities,
that,
or is the estate going to pay for that?
Right.
Exactly.
So it can be done. It can be done.
It can be done. So essentially what's happening is while you're taking care of Bambi, you're not actually giving her anything. You're making sure that you're preserving anything that's left over for your
children.
I'm
protecting her from herself.
Exactly. Okay. And you're preserving it for your children as well.
Perfect. Okay. Now, I exaggerated the characters a little bit for entertainment value, but the idea of the second marriage and combined families is a very actual, factual, and I'm not too far off in some cases in some of that.
Yeah.
So what you can do to protect yourself, very good information.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lisa. So we thank you for listening this morning, the listeners for tuning in today. Hopefully you have gained something, some knowledge, something you can use to help you enhance your own retirement income. You can visit yourfinancialdestination.ca. Call 902-499-5879. This is Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.